national broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Imam W. Dean Muhammad, takbir, takbir, takbir.
Thank you, thank you. We praise God. Yes, our greeting is peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. We praise God, the one Lord and creator of the heavens and the earth and mankind and every living thing. We praise him. We witness that he is God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets. Upon him be the prayers and the peace and the traditional salute given by 1 billion or more Muslims on this earth now to the last prophet. We have a message in concepts, and these concepts hold for us volumes of religious knowledge. The most common of these concepts for us is the father, is our father, first father, Adam, the father that God made, our father that God Almighty created. There's a message for all people in that concept. That message is in the sacred scriptures, not only for Muslims, but for Christians and Jews. The sacred scriptures regarding Adam's creation and form gives us his role, tells us really how he was created, and gives us his role in the establishment of the world. In the establishment of the world. Adam, when we study Adam in the Genesis, in the Bible Genesis, we see that he was formed as is given in the Quran, because after all, the Quran, its revelation, revealed to Muhammad the Prophet of Arabia after the Bible, and more than 650 years after Jesus Christ, peace be upon the prophets and servants and messengers of God. And in the Quran, it states more than once, many times, very clearly, that the Quran is not a new, that is, it is not a new beginning of revelation. It is not a new scripture. It is not a new beginning for revelation. It is a continuation of revelation. It is a commentary, really. A revelation and a commentary. A revelation meaning that it is a message to the present world and a completion on that plan that God gave man for his life, to establish his life on this earth. It is completion of that revelation or that message, and it is a commentary on issues in scriptures before the Quran was revealed. Issues for Christianity, issues for Judaism, and issues for the spiritual world, really. Not limited to Christianity and Judaism, but issues for the spiritual world, taken all together. Because in the Quran, we are told that there are many prophets, and that all of them are not named in the Quran. So many are named in the Quran, but the Quran teaches us, God's word teaches us, that there are others that are not named in Scripture, who are also prophets and messengers. And in that meaning or in that message or context there, We have it said also in the Quran, the Word of God says to us that there never was a community that was without a messenger. God inspired all people, and He raised from among all people of the world a messenger to them, or a messenger out of them for their guidance. The Quran is a universal message. It is a book with a universal message. As one of the great scholars of the Quran, of Islam, who's passed away now, may his soul be, pray his soul is in paradise, Maulana Maududi of Pakistan, he said, the Quran is a message for global reform. That is, it is a message to help all the people of the world come into the life that God wants, the Creator wants for every human person. We know that Moses, and before him Abraham, and the people that the Jews, the leaders, the prophets, that the Jewish people acknowledge. We know that they had a message for the reform of the whole world, the whole earth. And Christianity came, and Jesus Christ came, peace be on Christ Jesus, and He came with a message for the reform of the whole world. So Muhammad said of himself, he said, messengers, prophets and messengers, servants of God, they were sent one after another to build a house, he said, and each contributed something to the building of that house. And he was the one to come and put the last building block into that house. The last building block into that house. I could comment on what he said, and I would love to do so, but that's not in my notes tonight, so I will just keep going with my notes. I'll stick right with my notes. Yes, bear with me a moment here. Yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We praise God, and I continue now. We are here in New Medina. We have also a language that we're using now called New Africa. I like this language, you know? New Medina, New Africa. We need everything renewed almost. We are happy to be here with you all for the third annual economic summit here. And I mentioned Adam in the beginning because Adam has a lot for us. Adam offers a lot to this economic summit, if you understand the concept Adam in Scripture. Religion is given to us, that is revealed religion. The religion we call the heavenly religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and maybe some others. These religions, or the religion is revealed to us so we will know how to live our life upon this planet Earth, so we will work for the best life possible for human beings on this earth, and so that we'll get benefit, the maximum benefit from our own intelligence, from our own moral nature and spirit, that we will get the maximum benefit. And only God, who created us and designed us and knows us better than we know ourselves, and knows our history better than we know it, in our holy book, He says, who is best to guide? The one who comes up and sees part of it and goes away, or the one that has been in existence all the time, made it, and has been in existence all the time and aware of it all the time, who is best to give guidance to it? God is best to give guidance to it, to the life of human persons. We need Quran-inspired business life. Quran-inspired business life. We know that Muhammad the Prophet was a businessman before he was ever aware of revelation or anything like that. He wasn't a Christian, he was not a Jew, he was not belonging to any religion that would give him the understanding of God as a creature or being, pardon me, as a being, pardon me, communicating to his creatures. No. He didn't have that knowledge. He had not had that kind of experience. He was a man who believed in human nature. And he was one of the people we call Hunafa in Islam, in the Quran, Hunafa. And Hunafa mean a person who believes in being the best he can be in his own human nature, in his own human life. So he was striving just to be the best he could be as a human being, striving with nothing but appreciation for human life. He appreciated human life, and he wanted the best possible for his human life. And as I said, he was one of the people called Hunafa. And God says of him that surely we have seen him. We, meaning God, and those that serve God, angels, secondly, and great and the righteous, we have seen him, and we say that he is certainly established on the best character, best human character, God says of him. And God says of him, say, surely you will find in Muhammad an excellent model for any who believes in God and the last day, who believes in God in the last day, or believe in God in judgment day, you know. And before he was missioned and called to be a prophet, a messenger of God, or a mercy to all the world, as God says in the Quran, that he is certainly a mercy to all the worlds, to all the worlds. Speaking of Muhammad, universal messenger, universal, with a universal message. They said of him before he was called in mission, for he had any communication from God, they said he is a Sadiq. This is what the Arabs called him before he became a messenger or aware of that kind of experience. They said he is Al-Amin. As-Sadiq means the truthful one who never tells lies. And Al-Amin means the trustworthy one. And they themselves trusted him so much that they would leave their valuables with him when they were traveling away from their home, from their village, or from their tribe, or from their area. They would ask him, will you keep these for us, for me, for us, until we return? So this is the high recognition that he had, or place that he had, in the hearts and in the eyes of his people who were idol worshippers. This world, we'll call them the world of Christianity, or Judaism, or the civilized world, they would call those people heathens. He was among them, but he was not following their ways. He did not worship idols. He rejected the worship of idols. And he did not have any bad character or behavior. All excellent, beautiful behavior. And that's the one that God picked to be the prophet of Islam and a mercy to all the worlds. Now, that one was a businessman before he was called to be the messenger of God. He was a businessman. He traveled to Syria and to other places, not farther than Syria, I don't think, any place farther than Syria, but we know he traveled to Syria and other places for business. And he was employed by his wife. In fact, they got married because his wife was interested in him to put him over her business. Because of what? his honesty, his trustworthiness, his truthfulness. She wanted him to be in charge of her business. So before he was a messenger of God, he was a businessman that was trusted with his wife's business. His wife's name is Khadija, radiallahu anha. This is traditional recognition that we give to her. We say, may God be pleased with her. So for your occasion today, I don't know anything that I can give you or say to you more appropriate than what I have prepared for you. He was a businessman, and he gave us the concept of Adam. Again, after it was given to Jews and Christians, he gave it to us again. God revealed to him to give it to mankind, his following, and mankind, the concept of Adam. And the same that the Bible says of Adam, he gave us. Muhammad gave us. God spoke to him, and Muhammad spoke to people. And he said that your father was Adam, and your father was created from dust. Dust, the dust of the earth. Now, it doesn't only say he was created from dust. It says he was also, or his creation began with clay. And it also says that all life, the beginning of all life, is in water. So you'll find in the Quran statements, revealed statements, telling us man or human beings originated from water. Also other statements telling us human beings originated from clay, or had their beginning as clay, and telling us human beings were created from dust. There's no accident that the word industry has dust in it. Industry. Yes. So man's life begins in the dust, and he's to take that dust from dust to industry. He's to take dead earth and make it living matter, make it produce. And we know that the agriculturalist was before the steel workers. But eventually they all came, masonry, stone cutters and masonry, and later steel constructions, until we came to what we have today. Houses were made of simple matter, simple things. That's the meaning of coming from dust to dust, from dust to industry. The Quran gives us this meaning when it says that we are to help the ones who are down in the dust, meaning that they don't have a developed life. They don't have a developed life. We are to help those down in the dust, help them get up out of the dust, to lift their life up from poverty and no production, and follow the road to industrialization. So the world has not come to the end because it has become industrial. The world is come to the end of the good life. I don't mean the world is gone. People are still here, but the life is gone. And the life is what we are concerned about more than anything else. Keeping the life right, or keeping the life good for people. So the life is gone not because of industry coming and being established, but because of us giving our hours and our interests more to industry than to human life. So human life has been neglected for material interest and industry. And the balance is way off. The job now is to bring the balance back by building, turning attention again to human life and the sacred respect that we should have for human life. But for poor people like African Americans and some others who don't have anything representing them standing on this earth to their name, credit to their name, that they build this neighborhood, that they put these structures on this block, they have to be given at the same time the message of their father Adam, that God created every human being with the same right, the right to inherit Adam. That's why God gives us this message, to tell every human being that you have the right to inherit Adam. You are his descendant. You males, each one of you, are his sons. You females, each one of you, are his daughters. And if God gave him something, you are the inheritors. And God is ready to give you your inheritance. He's ready to be with you in the struggle for your inheritance. If you will only wake up in your soul and be reconciled with your father, the businessman, the industrialist. Now, let's come back home. Let's come home from that long distance. Let's come home. The best homes that we have had as people, and I don't see every face here black. I'm looking at a few white faces here in this audience. I'm speaking to everybody. The best homes that we have had as families have been the home where there was a man who had business outside the house with the earth. A man who had a garden or a farm, or a man who had some business working with material things. And he brought money back from his labor to take care of his family. And he had it in his spirit to do that. Nobody had to force him to do that. And he wasn't working just for money. Money was a means, not the end. For him, money was not the end. Money was the means. He needed money because he loved his wife, and he didn't want to see her hungry. He loved his children, he didn't want to see them hungry. He didn't want to see them in a bad condition, so he loved to better their condition, to better their environment, to make the house better, to make the living area better, to make the yard better. And that was his spirit. He lived for that. He lived just to make a better environment for his wife and his children. That was his main spirit. That's the spirit of a true man. That's the real son of Adam. We have to get that back. We wonder how come we can't manage our families, because our men are dead. Adam is dead in our men. We have to connect our men back with Adam. Now, I know many will interpret the scripture differently, not like I interpreted, you know. I'm not saying that I know I'm a know-it-all. I'm not. And I don't ask you to take what I say and don't question it, or you have to follow what I say. No, you don't have to follow what I say. You can throw it in the trash can, or you can just close your ears to it. That's your business. But I say that when scripture says that warning came in the scripture, it says, unless the heart of the father, the children, pardon me, be turned to the father, and the father be turned to them, the earth will be smitten with a curse. Great trouble is coming. Great trouble is coming. Warning, a great warning. I believe that warning is certainly best to keep a relationship with God Almighty. If you lose that relationship, you lose everything. I know that. But what did God give us to help us keep that relationship with him? He gave us the first father he created, Adam. A man that he charged with the responsibility to work the earth, to work the ground and produce from the ground. Huh? That's what he charged Adam with. And if we be separated from that concept for our life, say, I'm human. That's not enough to say you're human. You are a producer. God created you to produce. He gave you intelligence, freedom to think, freedom to question, freedom to imagine new and better things from what you're looking at, freedom to imagine how to improve things. God made you very special when He made you human, males and females, all the children of Adam, all the inheritors of the industrialists, male and female. All of us are the inheritors of the industrialists that God created to develop this world, this earth, and this world. Okay? So each one of us, we have this, and we should appreciate connecting back with that first man that God made, and know that God wants you to know that He, as your Father, means that you have in you the nature to build, the work, and build, and create a beautiful world. All of us have that. Everyone, male and female. We need something to turn on life again for us inside. The world can't do it by itself. It haven't done it. Scripture can do it. The world has not done it for us, brothers. The world has not been able to turn us on so we can become inspired and enthusiastic, excited about creating things and building things and making things and beautifying and strengthening our neighborhood, the block we live on. The world has not given us that. We have lost it, and the world has not given it back to us. Scripture can give it back to us. Scripture has given it to me. I'm a witness that Scripture can give it to us. Allah Akbar, God is greater. God says to us in the Quran that He is the one who created us, then gave us our common life upon which we can establish equality for all of us. That common life is our soul, the emotionality, our feelings, our sentiments, our nature that has us laughing sometimes, smiling sometimes, frowning sometimes, crying sometimes. This common nature that we have, He has established for us in that, our equality. Is that something cheap? And that's something cheap? Can it serve us as a common life to hold us all together as brothers and sisters in one human family? Yes, it can. And that is what holds us together.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.